How many of you know first things are important in the Word of God? What you put first in your life matters. What you put first in your life makes a difference. We're in Luke chapter 5, verse 1. If you brought a Bible, would you just raise it up? Or if you're using an app or an iPhone or a pad or whatever it is you're reading off of today, amen. Let's keep bringing our Bibles to God's house. There's no substitute in this world for God's Word. Can you say amen? Father, over the next few moments, I thank you for what's going to be shared. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would prepare every heart. I believe you have brought us together in this room at this moment for a divine encounter with you. Father, I thank you that we will not leave here like we came. But Father, in the name of Jesus, that strongholds in minds are going to be torn down. I thank you that addictions will be broken. I thank you that bondages will be no more. I thank you, Jesus, today, and I declare your lordship over the heart and life of every person sitting in this room today. Father, we apply the blood of Jesus over this seed of truth this morning. Satan, we bind you and we rebuke you. And we declare by faith that no weapon formed against us this morning or this year shall prosper. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Holy Spirit, we ask this morning that you would lift Jesus high, and we pray that men would be drawn to you. Father, we thank you today for what you're doing and for the momentum. We thank you for propelling us into a brand new year, and we give you thanks and praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, come on, let's give him praise on credit this morning. I know he's good for it. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. I want to begin reading there. And it says, so it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of the Lord that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing or were mending their nets. Verse 3. Then he, or Jesus, got into one of the boats, which was Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. Peter is having an encounter with Jesus Christ here. Verse 4 says, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep. Somebody say, launch out. He says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word. What are we reading this morning? His word. At your word, Jesus, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. And when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Verse 9, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and they followed him. Here's what I love about God's word. Although God's word is an ancient record of what was said, I thank God that it is a contemporary message to the Church of Jesus Christ today that identifies not only where we're at, but who he's called us to be and what's available to each of us in our life. And today I want to bring to you a prophetic message that will set a course for this year. Some steps that you can take to ensure that 2017 will launch the greatest year of your life. Now, I'm not just suggesting that, but I actually believe it. And by the end of this message, I want to show you that it is God's promise for your life if you'll choose to step out in obedience to him. How many of you want to have the greatest year you've ever experienced in your life? Just say amen this morning. He says, launch out. And I just want to walk through some of these things that Jesus said and draw out some deeper truth from them this morning. He says, launch out. Somebody say, launch out. Launch out. In other words, Peter, I need you to get from where you are out into a deeper place. I need you to get to a place where there is a greater potential and greater propensity for you to experience and receive the things I need for you to have in your life. Peter, I need you to move from where you are and let me position you through obedience so that you can experience a miracle in your life that is going to overcome the doubt and release a faith on the inside of you that people cannot argue you out of. How many of you know you can argue with a person who has a head knowledge of something? But the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Once you've tasted of the goodness of God, there is nobody who can take that experience away from you. Once you've experienced salvation and amazing grace, and what it means for your sin to be washed away, what it means to be made clean, what it means to shed the shame of your past and walk in the light of Jesus Christ, what it means to have an addiction broken in your life. Can I tell you, people might be able to argue with that, but they cannot talk you out of that kind of experience with Jesus Christ. We've got to launch out and position ourselves to experience what God wants in our lives. We must be a church that continues to contend for the supernatural element in everything we do. We serve a supernatural God. He works supernatural ways, and we are to be a people who have a supernatural walk. That means we go farther, faster, and experience not just the same things Jesus did, but he said in John 14, the things I did, you're going to do also, and greater works than these shall you do. He's saying launch out into the deeper things, because it's there that you're going to be able to bring in the type of catch that I need you to. But it's not going to come if you're satisfied in the shallows. It's not going to come if you're satisfied with low-level living. It's not going to come if you're satisfied with where you are right now. It's not going to come unless you launch out. It's going to require you to move from where you are to where he tells you to go. Launch out. I believe God wants us to launch into the greatest year of our lives. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. I believe that with all my heart today. I believe that God wants to move and do something in your life this year that is going to blow your mind. Amen. Something so radical, something so ridiculous, something so incredible that, like Peter, after that encounter, you're willing to forget everything else and follow Jesus Christ and be sold out to him and say nothing else matters nearly as much as Jesus does. Where you fall so in love with Christ that the things of this world that you've been toying with and playing with and allowing to become the weights to drag you down in your life dissipate in the fire of God's Holy Spirit, because you are stepping into a new season of not only understanding but experience of who God is and who he wants to be in and through and for you, so that you can radiate his life to a lost and dying world around you. Amen. Launch out. He says launch out. The very next thing Jesus says is, I want you to launch out into the deep. He says there's a destination. Jesus knew exactly where he wanted Peter to go. He wasn't confused about it. He told Peter exactly where to go. There was a direction to what he said. Can I tell you that when you obey the words of Jesus, there is always a direction. There is a trajectory. It is onward and it is upward. It is moving toward that great high and heavenly call that each and every one of us have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had a destination in mind. He knew how to get Peter from where he was to where he could be. Now that speaks of potential. He knew how to get Peter from where he was to where he could be. He knew how to get Peter from doubt to his destiny. And God knows exactly where you are today. Somebody needs to hear that. Somebody here today is struggling. Somebody is so glad to kiss 2016 goodbye and hoping with all their heart 2017's got something better. And I come to tell you today that God knows exactly where you are. If you've been sitting in the shadows and you feel like you're forgotten, God knows exactly where you are. He doesn't just see where you are, he feels what you're facing. And he is not intimidated intimidated in the least by your fears. He is not intimidated in the least by your doubts. He is there nudging you in a direction, waiting for you to step out on his word. And he's still able, church, to get you from where you are to what he has prepared for you. Just like Peter, getting him from where he was to what he needed. Getting you from poverty to plenty. Can I tell you, Jesus still knows how to get you from sickness to health, from brokenness to wholeness, from resentment to reconciliation. I serve a Lord who still knows how to move you from hate to love, from rejection to acceptance, from curse to blessed, from damnation to salvation, from isolation to adoption, from poverty to plenty, and from frustration to exhilaration. Hallelujah. I thank God today that Jesus isn't lost. You might feel like you've lost your way, but can I tell you, the word of the Lord is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. He said, don't stand still. Pick one foot up and put them down. You direct the step and I'll direct where it lands. Hallelujah. A body in motion tends to stay in motion, but a body at rest tends to stay in rest. It's time to launch out, church, and start following Jesus Christ one step at a time. You say, Josh, I don't know how to do it all. I don't understand all God's word. It's okay, baby. I bet you do understand a few things. Just start using what you know today. Hallelujah. Launch into the deep. There's a direction. Now, he knew how to get Peter from where he was to where he could be. That's potential. Every one of you in this room has amazing potential. There is a potency locked on the inside of you. But can I tell you today, when we tell people, baby, you have potential, that means absolutely nothing. That's like saying of all the people in the world, you're one of them. Everybody has potential. What sets apart the people who do something great for God? The people who let God tap into that potency he's put in their heart and their life. And it was more than that. It was more than Jesus knowing how to get Peter from where he was to what he had prepared. But Jesus knew how to get Peter from where he was as a fisherman to where the kingdom needed Peter to be. God wants you to reach your potential. God wants you to succeed like we talked about during the offering today. But can I tell you, God wants more than potential in your life. He wants purpose. After this encounter with Jesus Christ, Jesus said to Peter, from this moment forward, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. You're going to still be fishing, but you're just going to change what you're fishing for. You're going to use the same principles, but you're going to change what you're using them for. Some of you have gifts and talents and abilities that you have used before, but God wants to tap into those things and use them this year in a greater way for his kingdom, to build it and to bring him glory as you surrender what you have and make it available to him. Peter was taken beyond potential to that place of purpose in his life. This is the process that we go through as we discover our destiny. His destination for us is into the deep things of God. Somebody say it's destination deep. It's destination deep. Jesus is pointing us this year towards deeper things, towards greater growth, towards increased fruitfulness, towards greater stability and a fully committed following of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Launch out into the deep. The third thing he says to Peter that I find fascinating is he says, number one, launch out. Number two, into the deep. That's our direction. But number three, he says, let down. Somebody say, let down. Now, we're no strangers to letdowns, are we? How many of you have ever experienced a letdown, a failure, a disappointment? We know all about letdowns. Peter had just experienced a letdown. Remember, he's been fishing all night and they didn't catch anything. For a man who does this for a living, that was a failure. There was a letdown he had experienced in his life. And I come to tell you today that there's going to be a letdown in 2017, but it's not going to be the kind you're used to. It's going to be a letting down of something that God is going to bring great increase into your life. Jesus called on Peter to increase his expectation, even though He had experienced something completely different the night before. Even though Peter had experienced a failure, even though he had drawn in empty nets and had experienced a goose egg that night, Jesus was calling on Peter to increase his expectation. In order for Peter to say, okay, Lord, I'll do it at your word. I'll follow you. I'll step out in faith. I fished all night. I threw my nets out over and over and over, and I came up with nothing. But I'm willing, Lord, to go back out and to try it again. I'm willing to do it again. And Jesus calls on Peter to increase his expectation. No matter what he previously experienced, no matter how fresh the failure was in his mind, this had just happened, church. And I come to tell you today that Jesus is calling on you and on me and on Victory Church to increase our expectation. No matter what disappointment you've previously experienced, no matter how fresh it might be, or if it just happened, or if the devil makes you feel like it just happened, how many know what I'm talking about tonight? That constant reminder Satan has, that tape that plays in your head that says you're a failure, you're a disappointment, you'll never be good enough, you've let things down and they're not coming back. And God tells us in spite of that to increase our expectations. And Peter's obedience teaches us that you've got to let go of your letdowns. You've got to let go of your letdowns. Let me take just a minute for that to marinate. You've got to let go of your letdowns. If we're just being honest in this room today, this is God's living room and we're all family. If you're just being honest, how many of you have some letdowns you need to let go of? Today is the day to do it. Today is the day. Somebody say, today I'm letting go of all my letdowns. You've got to let go of the letdowns. Maybe you've thrown out your nets. And when you brought them back in filled with expectation, they came up empty. You've thrown out your prayer net. You've thrown out an emotional net. You've thrown out a relational net. You've thrown out a financial net. And I can picture Peter that night as he pulled it in one after another. Nope, nothing. Threw them out again. Brought them in. Nope, nothing. Feels like I wasted time. That's one of the hardest things for many of us, is we feel like when we've experienced a letdown and disappointment or a failure, the time that we lose that we can't get back is devastating to us. This is one of the greatest challenges we face as believers. How do we come back from disappointment? We let go of our letdowns. How soon are we willing to go back out after experiencing disappointment? How do I go back to a promise from God with a fresh faith and a new hope when I didn't see my prayers answered, or I didn't see it happen the way I thought it would, or the way I thought God should? How do I go back to His Word with that fresh faith and that new hope like it's the very first time? And I'm going to tell you the answer to that today, very simply, by clinging to what is unchanging. I cling to the promises of God. I cling to the Word of God that tells me He's unchanging and unfailing and unflinching God. I cling to Psalm 89:34 that declares, "My covenant I will not break nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips." I cling today to Isaiah 40 verse 8. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. I cling to Numbers 23:19 that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do, or has he spoken and will he not make it good? I cling to Romans 3:4. Let God be true, but every man a liar. I cling to Psalm 138:2. For you have magnified your word above all your name. God has elevated his word above his name. And if his word's no good, his name's no good. And if his name's no good, his word's no good. But can I tell you today that he has the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It is the name through which and only which salvation can come into your life. Not just the day you called on him, but every day of your life. Can I tell you, I cling to Hebrews 13:8. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. That's how I make it through church. That's how I overcome disappointment with perseverance. Don't you ever give up on God, because he will never give up on you. Life happens. But get over it. I know that's tough. Some of you face things that are unimaginable. The pain I have seen people go through is mind-numbing, but I'm going to tell you the only way, the only way, the only way, the only way you can make it in this life is perseverance. I don't let disappointment define me. I've had plenty. Somebody looks at somebody who's happy or got it together or succeeding, and they think, well, they don't know the trouble I've seen. They don't know the things I've been through. I bet you they don't have none of that in their life. Can I tell you, they just got back up one more time than Satan knocked them down. Amen? I've told you before, I'm never down. I'm either up or getting up. I'm not going to be defined by disappointment. I'm not going to be defined by failure. What we do is we get up and we keep putting one foot in front of the other time after time after time. What we do is we waste time mourning things that you can never get back. Mourning things you can't change. This month we're going to be talking about your past. I can't change my past, but I can certainly change what happens in my future. I can't change who I've been, but I thank God He's changed who I am today. Amen? Gospel doesn't make me better, it makes me brand new. It's okay and it's healthy to mourn for a while. As a matter of fact, you need to process a loss emotionally. Tears help you do that. They're a blow-off valve that purges our souls. But here's what I want you to hear me say today. It's not okay to do it forever. And when mourning becomes a way of life, we're in trouble. The Bible says weeping endures for a night. Night is a temporary set time because God has ordained the time for the sun to go down and the sun to come back up. And that means if you feel like you've been in the night for a long time, you're that much closer to the light. In a Jewish day, it begins with evening and it ends with morning. And that is the cycle of our lives. As a matter of fact, in the book of Genesis, when God created, the Bible says the evening and the morning were that day. That tells us, and the truth we must glean from that is very simply this, that what begins in the night will end in the light. And God told me to tell somebody today that what you're going through is not what you're going to. You are moving towards greater light in your life. Don't you fear, no matter what. If you can't see Him, you just trust His heart. You cling to His hand and know that He is looking out for you. He said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Somebody say nets. Somebody say nets. Nets. I'm not talking about the basketball team either. He said, I want you to let down your nets. Now, nets are used to cast out and to draw something in. They're used to bring things toward us. And as I was meditating on this truth over the last few weeks, here's what the Holy Spirit began to show me. Nets are formed by a pattern. Somebody say pattern. Nets are formed by a pattern. I want you to think about a net. You see the same pattern repeated over and over and over and over. And they're linked together and it forms a net. Patterns in our life are the things that determine what you can catch. Patterns are the things you do regularly on a recurring basis. They are the habits. They are the cycles. The Bible talks about the negative ones as strongholds. They are the cycles. They are the personal spiritual disciplines that we must personally develop in our life. Now, when Jesus walks up on them, they were mending their nets. They were fixing the patterns. The patterns had been broken. The patterns had gotten out of line. And my question for you today is very simply this. What patterns need repaired in your life? I want you to think about that. What patterns need repaired in your life? Do you start things that you don't finish? Do you lack personal discipline? Are you hot 1 second and cold the next? Are you up 1 minute and down the next? Are you in 1 minute and out the next? Do you look for love in all the wrong places? Do you let people into your life right now that you know you shouldn't, but you're so desperate to feel accepted and approved and the affection and attention that you're willing to pay any price and go through the pain because it's better than having nothing? Are we lazy? Are we late? Are we constantly reminding others around us of the areas where they failed us? Are we doing things and are we caught in a cycle with our spouse that's sabotaging the relationship that God desires to bless us with? And if the answer is yes to any of those things, then here's the good news, church. We are able to replace those things. We're able to replace those old patterns with new ones in 2017. We're able to ask and receive. We're able to seek and find. We're able to knock and have it opened up for us. We're able to thank and to praise and pray in the Holy Ghost and repeat those things. We're able to bind and loose and declare and repeat those cycles. We're able to step out in faith on a word from God and speak things that be not as though they were and expect them to show up. Come on, this is why it's essential for you to read the Word of God in your life. This is why it's essential for you to position yourself to be hearing the Word of God in your life. You've got to position yourself to hear the Word of God every single week in your life. They are changing your patterns. Being here this morning is changing those patterns in your life. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me try it again. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be squeezed into the world's mold, but be transformed, be changed by getting a new way of thinking, by renewing your mind, by reprogramming your mind, by giving your mind a new set of instructions to follow, a new set of criteria, a new pattern for you to step into that creates a net for you to catch and collect the things that God will send your way for you in your life. See, here's what's critical, church. I believe with all my heart, most of us as American believers are educated beyond our obedience. What we need is not another Bible study. What we need is not another church service. What we need is to take what we already know and put into practice the things God's given us today. I would rather know less and use it better than know more and do nothing with it. It is a deception to think because you know it, you've got it down in your life. Can I tell you that this book is not filled with magic spells that if you say them or read them enough, it will make things different and become true for you. This book is a letter to action. This book is a call to action. It is a love letter. It is a call to leave the world a better place than we found it. And the only parts of the Bible that you will experience the power of God released in your life and in your situation are the parts you step out in and obey. Jesus said, if you love me, obey me. Can I tell you, he told you that because he loves you. He's not telling you to obey you because he gets off on commanding every detail of your life. He's telling you that because he's got something for you. And obedience is the shortest distance between where I am and the great things God's prepared for me. Number one, nets are formed by a pattern. Number two thing you need to know about nets. Nets are not just formed by a pattern. Nets are formed when you repeat the pattern. And this speaks of consistency in our life. When you repeat the pattern, it's what you do over and over and over. It's what you do day in and day out that makes a difference. It's what you do consistently that has power in and over and through you. Number one, nets are formed by a pattern. Number two, nets are formed by repeating the pattern. There's got to be a consistency in our life. Number three, nets are formed by making strong connections. Nets are formed when you make strong connections. The stronger the connection, the stronger the net. The stronger the net, the greater the catch. See, God wants you to experience increase, but can I tell you today, he expects us to be good stewards. And we can't reap what we can't keep. That's why at Victory Church, we're so diligent about making sure that not only are we reaching the lost, but we're able to raise them up and disciple them and lead them to a place of strength in the Lord and maturity in Christ where they can go and give birth to new babies in the kingdom of God, and they can teach them how to raise them up and how to take care of them and how for them to grow up just like you do with your kids. Strong connections. The purpose of that net is to draw things to you, but if there ain't nothing going out, then there ain't going to be nothing coming in. We've got to take time for that net. But here's what I want you to get today. Obedience is essential. Peter's obedience was essential. Notice that Jesus didn't ask Peter to launch out into the deep. He told him. It wasn't a question, it was a command. And there's something special about that, and it's very simply this truth, that lordship is always tested through a command. If we're not obedient to the commands, then he's not Lord. Amen? It's awful quiet. Peter's obedience proved that Jesus' lordship in his life was more than lip service. God is looking for more than lip service in 2017. But obedience that comes from a heart that has been transformed by his love. God is looking for more than lip service in 2017, but he is looking for obedience that comes from a heart that has been transformed by his love. And Jesus will ask you to do something that will reveal what I'm going to call your CSL. Somebody say CSL. Not CSI. Your CSL. Your current spiritual location. When he asks something of you, it immediately is an identifier where we must answer the question, where am I? Peter had to ask himself that question. He had to ask himself, where am I? Where am I in my faith? Where am I in following Christ? Where am I in my walk with God? Where am I in my praise life? Where am I in worshiping him? Where am I in my personal health? Where am I in my career? Where am I in my relationship? And here's why it's important that you understand where you are. The CSL, the current spiritual location. It's critical very simply because if I don't know where I am, how am I ever going to get to where he's called me to be? I think a lot of people know where they want to go, but they don't have a clue where they are. It takes time to stop and ask yourself that question, where am I? Because again, obedience is the shortest distance between where you are and experiencing God's best. Obedience is the shortest distance between what you have and what he's prepared for you. Obedience is the shortest distance between who you are right now and who God has created you to be. There is a next, church. There is a greater. There is a deeper. There should be something dynamic about our faith that is constantly being elevated and growing and moving forward in God. Remember, he said, follow me. He didn't say, stand with me. Obedience stretches our faith from where it is now to where it needs to be. See, your current spiritual location is critical. Your physical location right now is Troy, Pennsylvania, right? But where are you spiritually? On the first day of a brand new year, take time to identify, where am I at in my walk with God? Where am I at in the process of being set apart and being sanctified for Christ? See, this is critical because when you get a revelation, Kurt, of who Jesus is and you taste and see the Lord's goodness, what did Peter do? He said, Lord, you got to get out of my boat. I'm a sinful man. When you see Jesus lifted high in all his glory, there's something that humbles us. There's something that makes us aware of who we are apart from him. Isaiah said it like this. He fell on his face before God and he said, I'm an unclean man with unclean lips. And what did God do? God touched his lips and he purified them. What did God do with Peter? As Peter pushed him away, sin consciousness will always cause you to push Jesus away. But that's when Jesus reaches out and grabs a hold of you. And he says, I want you to come with me anyway. I got a plan for you. I got a purpose for you. My grace is greater than your sin. My grace is greater than your failure. I'm going to change you in the process. And we're going to have fun making a difference in the world as we walk together, hand in hand, heart in heart, day after day, until the day the trumpet blows and we meet him face to face. Trust is what we gain in the process. All the doubt that might have been in the back of Peter's head when he stepped out and obeyed Jesus, gone when he saw those fish. Obedience has the power to overcome your doubt. And I want to say to somebody today, you feel like you've doubted God's word. Let your obedience be greater than your doubt. Do it afraid. Step out on God's word. He promises you that when we do, He will show up in amazing ways in our life. And greater confidence comes from hearing and obeying and seeing the results. Peter heard the word of God. Peter believed the word of God. And Peter acted on the word of God. And the word of God had results in Peter's life. And results are the proof that we actually heard from him. The world needs to see results. And that means that the church has to be fearless in stepping out and being obedient to him. If we don't obey, there's no results. And everybody sits around going, where is God? But can I tell you, he shows up in the lives of those who are daring and bold enough to say, it's not by my might or by my power, but by your spirit. And they step out on what God's word says. And the results are the proof. How many of you want results? How many of you want results? Obedience is the key. Let me finish with this. There are things in 2017 God is going to ask you to do. And when he does, there'll be identifiers that will require you to say to yourself, am I satisfied to stay where I am? Or am I willing to pay the price to launch out into the deep, increase my expectation, let go of my letdowns, restore the patterns, be consistent, and make strong connections? Psalm 65:11. You crown the year with your goodness. You crown the year with your goodness. Romans says it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Repentance is a change of thinking that leads to a change in direction. I believe that the goodness of God that he has crowned 2017 with is going to speak so strong into some of your lives that it is going to change the way you think and produce a change in direction in your life. Psalm 65:11, let's see that again. Here's what it says. It says, you crown the year with your goodness and your paths drip with abundance. Somebody say, he's more than enough. He's all I need. Would you stand with me this morning? The kind of year you're going to have will not be determined by what happens to you external. The type of year you're going to have will be determined by what goes on in you. It's internal. Can I tell you today, church, the best news of all, you don't have to be a victim of life anymore. You are empowered to experience God's best and be blessed no matter what the season of your life may bring. You can count it all joy no matter what you're going through and facing, because 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you have victory in Jesus today? If you do, would you just give him an ovation? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you this question. Where are you at in your walk with God? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Having a relationship with God is impossible without him. Because the Bible says we've all sinned. Sin is what separates us from God. Sin is what we all have in common. We've all sinned. We've all blown it. We've all fallen short of God's best. The good news is, and this is what we celebrate at Christmas, that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to save man. He left heaven. He came to earth. He was born of a virgin named Mary. He lived a sinless life for 33 and a half years. And because he lived a sinless life, he was able to die as a sacrifice for our substitute. In other words, he died my death so I could live his life. He paid the price for my sin so that I could have a new life with him. He was cursed so that I could be blessed. And 3 days after he died and being buried in a borrowed tomb, he was raised from the dead by God. And today he's alive and he's seated in heaven. He overcame death, so death no longer has to define your life. You can be free from the fear of death. And it's not until we're ready to die that we're really prepared to live. The Bible says he who has the Son has life. In just a moment, I'm going to count to three. And if you're here today and you say, Josh, I want Jesus in my life, I just want you to shoot your hand up. I want to know who I'm praying with. Maybe you're here today and the patterns are broken. You say, Josh, I used to walk with Jesus, but life happened. Sin has come in and crowded him out. Friend, you might have turned your back on him, but he's never turned his back on you. He's the Father that's always home. His arms are open wide. Today, he's waiting for you. You're not nearly as far from God as you think. He's as close as the whisper of his name. If you say, Josh, that's me today on the first day of a brand new year, I want to declare Jesus' lordship over my life. I want to be born again. I want to say yes to heaven and no to hell. I want to say yes to life and no to death. Josh, that's me. 1, 2, 3. Would you slip up your hand this morning? I thank you for your honesty. Is there someone? I thank you for your honesty. I see that couple there. I thank you for your honesty. I thank you for your honesty. Is there another one here today? I see you there. Thank you for your honesty. Hallelujah. Church, can we celebrate these decisions? Hallelujah. Keep your heads bowed. Is there somebody else? Just raise your hand real high and wave at me. Is there another one here today? I see you right there.
Awesome.
I see you right here on the front, brother. Is there somebody else here today? I see you, buddy. I see you right here, brother. Thank you so much for being honest with God today. Is there another person here today? Josh, today, I need Jesus. Is there one more? 5, 4, 3. I see you right here, brother. He would have done it just for you. Come on, church. Can we celebrate all those decisions today?